Let's pray and we'll get right into it. God, I'm thankful for a family like Impact Christian Church. Thankful that you've given us this group to be together, to do life, the joys and the sorrows. And I thank you that you continue to bring new folks to us each week that are looking for you. And God, we just pray these next few minutes that that you would just speak to all of us, for those that are looking, for those that aren't, for those that are troubled, for those that are in despair. God, would you do a work? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't Brad sweet? That was sweet. And that was pigeonholing on what Brad just said. I'm glad that I have a son-in-law that can stand up and do stuff like that. And that's really neat. It's neat to have kids that love the Lord and serve the Lord. And so I'm very blessed in that regards to. I've got a lot of them, and it's nice to have them. I just forgot everything I was going to say. Oh, I know. This next week, or actually tomorrow, Graham and Commerce down here gets shut down. So the only way you can get here is coming this way for the next about month and a half. And so you're going to have to figure out, it's very simple, just go up 31 and come down this road over here. And what is it, Earlywood? Thank you. What would I do without Diana? So, I'd be in trouble. Yes. By KFC, yeah. KFC is going to be closed. They're coming by KFC, that's closed. And also going this way. You won't be able to come around the curve. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we'll be here. So, be sure you show up. Okay? All right. We're going to get right into our lesson today. We're in this series called I Am Decided, and we want to make choices that are good. We want to make choices that are healthy. We want to make choices that make us, because our choices make us. Our choices guide us. Our choices direct us. And so we've been talking about we need to decide ahead of time the things that God wants us to do and what he wants us to do. And so when the thing comes at us, we know what to do. We know where to go and how to navigate that situation. So we are calling it, I am decided. So you have to be decided ahead of time before you get to that point, before you get to the point where you have to make that decision. So today we're going to talk about being faithful. And I'm calling this one of the words that could change your life. Faithfulness can change your life if you find yourself faithful. If you go ask people, which you happen to be, and you ask them questions like, if there's one thing that you would like to choose to be, or to what's one word that you'd really like, what is that? And three of the words that continually come up, I hear in people's conversations about they're shooting for in their own life, is one is, I'd like to be successful. I'd like to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. That God wants us to be successful. God calls us to be the best we can be while we're here, the best that he made us to be. Another word that I hear people say a lot today is, I want to be influential. I want to influence people. Now, the younger generation understands that in the sense that there's always somebody hawking a product or hawking something, and they do it on the different social medias to do that, to say, here, if you like this, and then you like me, apparently. But influence is good, too. We want to be influential. Another word that people come up with is the word happy. All of us, if you really got down to it, we all would say, I'd like to be happy. I'd like to find some happiness. I'd like to find some happiness in this world. And all three of those words are good words. They're great words. But I believe that there's one word that tops all those, that stands all the rest. Because when we get to heaven, if we live a life that pleases God and we've done what God asks us to do, he won't say to you, well done, my good and successful servant. He will never say that. He will not say to you, my good and influential servant, you influenced many. Or, my well done, my happy servant. He will not say it. He will say to you, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Jesus wants that for us. He wants us to be faithful. And how do we do that? That's the mix that comes to us today. I want you to look at your neighbor. Just look to your neighbor to your left or right and say, my, you're looking faithful today. Say that. Now turn to the other one. Turn to the other neighbor. My, you're looking faithful today. All right. I want you to get all your talking out so you can listen. All right, here we go. You're all looking faithful, I hope. I hope and I pray. Stoney's like, there's nobody here to say it to. He's looking all around. Somebody, okay, he got it. All right, good job. So here we are talking about I'm decided, and we're talking about the power of our choices. And the reason we find it difficult to be faithful is most of us gravitate towards the easy. I like the easy. Give me the least path to resistance. I want to lose weight. Give me a pill. I want to zone out. Give me a show. It's just give us the least path to resistance to get where we need to be. And God never, ever intended for that, because he wants us to lean on him, to trust in him. So today we're going to look at several passages that kind of talk about this. How do we be faithful? How do we be decided to be faithful? The very first one is all the way back in the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2:4 says this: look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Let me read it one more time. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And see, in that's just a picture of today, that their lives are what? They're crooked. Their lives, they don't make sense. They're disjointed. They don't seem to go up. But if you're righteous, they live by their faithfulness. We live by the faithfulness of that. We trust themselves, see? And so what happens is when you trust yourselves, there's a word for that, and that word is proud. And I don't want help. Don't help me. Nobody can help me because I need to take care of myself. So many of us are like that. Don't need any help. I'm doing just fine here. Just leave me alone. I'll navigate it. I'll get there. I'll go where I'm supposed to be. See, we trust in ourselves, and our lives end up being crooked. They end up being disjointed. And God says, the righteous, they have that faithfulness that they rely on, the faithfulness in God. And unfortunately, every one of us in this room, we are a little prideful. we don't want people's help as much, because sometimes when people help us, then they also see things in our lives that maybe aren't doing exactly what they, and they give advice. I mean, I'm doing just fine here. I'll do my own thing. I'm doing okay. What does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to be faithful, church? Well, it means a lot of things. I think if you asked me when I was younger, when I was just starting out in the ministry, I would have said to you, I would say, well, it means you don't cheat on your spouse. It means you don't cheat on your taxes. It means that you're trying to be a good person. But Jesus always took a different approach. He always took a different approach. His approach was always counter what the culture says, counter what we think, counter what anybody around us believes. Jesus mentioned the word faithful time and time and time again in the New Testament. You will see today that he had three different times or categories that he talked about faithfulness. The one was he talked about faithfulness in how you treat people. How you treat people. And that's what's important. How you treat people. I mean all people. I mean the waitresses. I mean the people at the gas pump. I mean the people at the store, if you can find the people checking out. There's no people checking out anymore, but the people around you as you're checking out. People. Jesus always talked about the faithfulness of people, people around him. He also talked about faithfulness of the resources of taking care of what he gives us, the stuff that we have. That when he gives us stuff, we are to take care of it. That's why we don't let it fall apart. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And he talked about faithfulness, how you respond to God. Because when God made you, he didn't just put you here to sit on your duff and just count your chips and cash out. He intended for you to do some very specific things in this world. So it's our response to him then. What do we do with God? That's the essence of that. So let's talk about it. When Jesus talked about faithfulness, it was always about this relationship to others. He was always others-oriented. So in response to the values of Jesus on faithfulness, it was like if you're going to be faithful, you've got to decide a couple things. And let's talk about those things today. The first one is this. I am decided that every interaction is an opportunity to add value to that person's life. And we're going to flesh that out here in just a second. I want to add value. So when I come in a room, I want to add value to you. When I come in a place and you're there, I want to bring something to the table. I don't want you to have to come to me. I want to come to you and say, here's how you value. Here's how you're so valuable to me, because people have so much value. And so the second thing then is that every resource is an opportunity to take something that he's given us and to multiply it and to make more out of it. So if he gives us $10, we're to make more money. If he gives us and do things with it that matter, that make a difference in this life. And then lastly, every prompting is an opportunity to obey God. And I'm going to flesh all three of those out as we go through this morning. All three of those are so important, and I want you to listen because they're very simple, but they're very hard to do when it comes to being faithful. Let's look at this. If we're going to be faithful, we've got to decide that every time I interact with somebody, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring value to their life. I want them to go, dang, I was glad I spent a moment with them. They brought me up. They didn't bring me down. And a lot of people today, quite frankly, they bring you down. You know, how you doing? Life is horrible. Let me tell you about my sicknesses. Let me tell you about this thing I got under my arm. Let me tell you about this thing. You know, I had three operations and three. And you go, oh, okay, thanks. I'm sorry. And we don't bring much to the table when we do that. We are there to, you say, well who's going to get me? See, that's where you have to have that faith that God is going to lift you up, that God is going to sustain you, that God is going to take care of you. What does it mean for you whenever you go to meet a person and everyone that you see is an opportunity to bless? Does that change the way that you do your life? Every person that comes into your contact is somebody you could possibly bless. Well, Jeff, I don't know if I could do that. Well, that's the way God wants us to do it. He wants us to look for those opportunities to say to somebody, you matter to me and you matter to God. Wow. If we lived our life like that, I believe that our world would change incredibly. Why do we do that? Why is it so hard to come to a conversation with somebody and to say, I'm going to try to add value? Because we're ridiculously selfish. We're selfish. We like to do for people to know our pain. We like for people to know our angst. We like for people to know what's going on in us. And so we take every opportunity to just go, blah, here it is, here's me. When maybe God has intended for us to go to that opportunity and say, I want you to know I'm here to build you up. I'm here to make you better. Wow, what a confrontation that would be. When you read the news today, the world around us is pretty, it's pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak. When you hear the news, it's pretty bleak. And things are going to get worse. They're not going to get any better. If you're thinking they're going to get better, honestly, you're probably looking through eyes that are, they're not right. They're not right. Things are going to get worse. And so you have to understand that there's people around you that the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father cares so much about, that the only way they're going to get reached is by you coming into their life and you touching them through the Holy Spirit in the way that God wants you to touch that person. Think about the woman in the Bible who the Bible says was with much sin. She had five different husbands, and she was caught in adultery, which is a bad place to be. She was caught in adultery, the Bible says, And what did Jesus say to her? What did Jesus say? Did he shame her and say, "You stupid woman, what are you thinking? Five? And you were stupid enough to get caught? Dumb, dumb lady." No, he never said that. He never said that. With love in his heart, he says, "I don't condemn you. Go on your way and sin no more." That was Jesus. That was Jesus. See, our way of looking at people is if they're bad or they've hurt us or they've done something, well, you don't get a second chance or you don't get a third chance. Nope, you're out. I X you out of my life. Boom, you're gone. That's completely different than the way Jesus has encouraged us to be faithful. Think about Peter. Peter, Jesus' closest friend, and he denied Jesus three times. Do you know who Jesus is? No, I don't know him. Do you know Jesus? I don't know him. Do you know Jesus? And I don't know him. And he's out for breakfast at Denny's on the beach. And he comes up to him. He says, I just need you to feed my sheep. Not stupid, stupid Peter. What? Why did you deny me? He didn't even... Go feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Every interaction with people, you should show the love of God to build up, to show grace, to give grace, something they don't deserve. Listen, to give something they don't deserve. Do they deserve it? No. Do you? No. But to give what they don't deserve, grace, to be faithful, to give a blessing, to take an opportunity and say, I'm going to be a blessing in that person's life, even though they're not head, even though they don't deserve it, even though I want to take it, I want to just pound them. I'm going to give them what they don't deserve. How would that change your world? How would that change where you work? How would that change anything that's in your life if you viewed every interaction as an opportunity to bless somebody, to build them up? Secondly, we're going to be faithful to God when we decide ahead of time that every resource is an opportunity to take what we've got and to make something better out of it, to multiply it. To multiply it. Matthew 25, Jesus told this parable, and I'm not going to bring it up. I want to talk about it because it's a parable that most of you are very familiar with. And it's this parable about this man who went on a journey, and he trusted all of his wealth that he had to his three servants. And he gave one servant one bag of gold, and one, three or four or five, and then one he gave about six or seven. And he says, take care of this, do something with it, and when I come back, I will reward you. He comes back, and he's hoping and praying that they're going to invest it, that they're going to do something with it, that they're going to take what he gave him and multiply it, and he gets back. And he comes to the first guy, and he says, what happened? Well, I doubled. Well, you've been faithful. Well done, well done, well done. Comes the second. Look what you did. You did a good job. Go and take the joys of your journey, of what you just did, the joys of your labor. And then the third knucklehead, which is some of us, what'd you do with what I gave you? Well, I dug a hole and I put it in the ground. What? See, one of the ways that you can be faithful to God is simply by caring about the stuff that he gives you. Let me go real basic here. I know it's always talking about church stuff, but let me go really basic here. Let's do this. You get a house, and it's your house. It's your house to make better. It's your house to go in and to maybe not keep it so cluttered, and maybe to do the paint and do the yard and keep it looking nice. So the neighbor, you know, am I doing it for the neighbors? No, I'm doing it because God gave it to me, and I'm going to take care of what he gave me. And I've got an old clunker piece of junk, and I never wash it, and I never take the trash out. Maybe you should. Maybe you should, because it's your clunker. It's your clunker. You're here today, and you've got a business. Don't feel bad about it. You know, the business people always feel like when it comes to church and ministry that, you know, just because I'm in charge, and I take care of this, and I take a, that's the best thing there is to be a business owner, because you can show so much love and grace. Because why? You're the boss. Nobody's over you. It's an opportunity to show grace. It's an opportunity to take what God has given you and multiply it and use it in the community. Use it in your church. Use it everywhere. You should be so proud that God gave you a business and to take the resources that you have and to use them for the glory of God. So we go back to the story. An old knothead, number three. Here he is. You know, hit his town under a bushel. And he comes to the master and says, I didn't do anything with it. I was afraid. I went out and hid it in the ground. And I want you to remember what the master said. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to feel about the talent, about the opportunity, and about the stuff that God gives you. To the one that was multiplied, the master said, you are faithful. To the one who buried it, he wasn't just lazy. The master called him wicked. The master called him wicked. If you're not using your talents for the kingdom, I don't got much better proof of anything than this right here. The master, we don't want to be called wicked, let alone lazy. You know, some of us are, I'm okay with lazy, okay. But wicked? Because you didn't use what God gave you. You didn't take and multiply it. You just let it sit there. That's a problem. Do you understand that? Do you get it? Do you get it in here today? Do you get it in here? Do you get it in your spirit? We're going to choose to be faithful. Every interaction is an opportunity to add value. Everything that we have is an opportunity to take and multiply what we have and make something much, much more. Lastly, every prompting is an opportunity to obey God. What is a prompting? It's a whisper. It's a feeling of doing something hard or challenging. If you've ever been prompted, you know. I've so many times I felt God to tell me to do something, and I go, uh-uh. I want you to give that person some money. No. I want you to go spend. No, I'm busy. I want you. No. Promptings are what God does to us, and it's the Holy Spirit taking that whisper, that still small voice, and saying to you, daughter, son, I need you to do this. And the reason I need you to do it is because other people aren't listening to the promptings that I'm doing, so I need you to go. I need you to be my hands, and I need you to be my feet. Acts 20:22 says this. Paul was in Ephesus. He had this emotional farewell that he was saying to all the churches. And he said, I think I'll read it for you before I go into it. And now compelled by the Spirit, there's that word, I am going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I don't know what's going to go on. I don't have all the I's dotted, and I have all the T's crossed, but I know I'm compelled, so I better go. This is Holy Spirit stuff. This is stuff that scares the pants off of most Christians, and we miss it. We miss it because we get that feeling, it comes on us, and we deny it. It comes at us, and we go, nope, not going to do it. Not me. The Greek word compel there means to be wrapped up and bound up like cords, that you can't do nothing else but go where he sent you to go. I'm compelled. I am bound up. I must do what the Father asked me to do. And if you've never been compelled, if you've never been that person who has been stretched, called to stretch that person, then you need to listen more and act on what the Holy Spirit says to you. I love what Paul says. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but I'm going. I don't know, but I'm going to go. And I love to see that in some of you when you do it. You have no net and you step out. Nothing out there, but you do it. That's faithfulness. That's rewarded by God. He will catch you. I don't know what's going to happen because I'm compelled. I'm going to go. And if I'm compelled, that's where I need to go. That's where I need to be. That's what I need to do. That's what I need to give. That's how I need to live. When you follow Jesus, he prompts you through the Holy Spirit. This is the piece that misses so many of us. His prompting. The Holy Spirit has a still, small voice. He is a gentleman. He will never, ever, ever bum rush you. He will never overtake you and just like make you. No, he compels you to, hey, listen, brother, hey, sister, there's where you need to go. Now, you can get out of it. You can get out of the knots really easy. No, I'm not going to do it. Responding when you don't know what will happen. When's the last time you did that? I don't know. Pastor asked me to do this. I don't know. I can't do that. They're going on a trip, a mission trip, and they're down there to Kentucky. And No, not me. Send somebody else. Send those youngins. Get those youngins down there. They need them youngins. I don't know, folks. I don't know. See, the spiritual principle on all this is this. Obedience is not is your responsibility, and the outcomes is God's responsibility. Well, let me say that again. Your responsibility is just to say, here I am, send me. No net and all. No net and all. I'll go. His responsibility is to see how it comes out. Well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. No, you don't. And that's the cool thing about being a follower of Christ. God is going to put somebody on your heart. He's going to put something on your heart. And you're going to say, these things are going to come to your mind. I don't know why, but I'm supposed to tell you this. I don't know what, but I just felt compelled to text you. Did you know that God loves you? Did you know that I'm thinking of you today? When's the last time that you did that to anybody that was struggling? When's the last time that you thought about it and you go, no. Nah, they'll think that's sappy. They'll think it's stupid. Obedience is your responsibility. The outcome is whose? Whose? Over here. Yeah, you're with me. Okay, I want to make sure. I want to be faithful to God. I want to add value to people around me. I want to multiply the things, the stuff, and the people that God puts in my life. And I want to be faithful, and I want to obey. When's the last time you thought about that, about how you're doing with obeying God? If you had kids or grandkids around, you know, I've had them all week. I've had my grandkids, 3 or 4 of them. It seems like 15, but I've had them all week, and it's been incredible. And that word obey comes up so much. That word obey comes up so much because it's right there in the tip. I need you to listen. Why? Because I need you to obey me. It works for us too. It works for us. And nobody tells us that anymore. Nobody tells us, I need you to obey God. But I am today. I'm reminding you that God, the best and most incredible thing you can do is to obey the Lord. That when he prompts you, you do it. When he speaks to your heart, you follow through with it. Why? Because what did Habakkuk say? The righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The righteous. The rest of us, we're doing the crooked thing. Where are we going? I don't know. Let's pray as the band comes. God, we just pray right now that through your Holy Spirit, you will prompt us.